KETR presents Texas Scribes, featuring the literary works by the authors of Northeast Texas. Welcome to a reading of The Homecoming of Samuel Lake by author Jenny Wingfield. Jenny lives in Texas, and her screenplay credits include The Man in the Moon and The Outsider. The Homecoming of Samuel Lake is her first novel.
What did Uncle Toy use to kill young Ferguson? What? What did he use? A gun? A knife? What? Swan was sitting in the bathtub, shoulder deep in bubbles. Her mother had been bending over the sink, washing her hair, but her head had snapped almost straight up when Swan asked her first question, and now she was swabbing shampoo out of her eyes. Who told you Uncle Toy killed anybody? Lovey. Lovey talks entirely too much. She's not the only one who said it. I heard you and Grandma Calla talking about it once, a long time ago. Willoughby bent back over the sink and twisted around until her head was under the flowing tap. Shampoo foamed and cascaded and ran in rivulets. What'd you hear Grandma Calla and me saying? I don't remember exactly. Good. Well, I just think when a relative of mine has committed a murder, I deserve to know the details, Swan complained. You deserve a licking about 9/10 of the time. Willoughby pulled a strand of her hair between her thumb and forefinger to see whether it squeaked. It did. She flipped her head back, wrapped a towel around it, and started out of the bathroom. Well, did he kill him or not? Swan hollered after her. Yes, her mother yelled back. It might take Willoughby a long time to get around to telling the truth, but if you pinned her down, she wouldn't lie. She was Moses through and through. So what did he use? His hands. His hands. Uncle Toy had killed a man with his bare hands. Swan sat there for a minute thinking about that, Uncle Toy growing bigger and more powerful in her mind by the second. He had captured her imagination, and she couldn't stop thinking about him. Strangely enough, Aunt Bernice didn't seem to be all that impressed with him. Often as not, she acted as if her husband wasn't there, even when she was sitting right beside him. And they were so perfect together, him being so strong and sure of himself, and her with that heartbreaking body and skin like silk. If Aunt Bernice were just a little entranced with Uncle Toy, it would be the most incredible love story, the kind that lives on after the people are gone. Swan stood up in the tub. Bubbles glistened everywhere. She reached down, scooped up a double handful of suds, and plastered them on either side of her chest, teasing them into pointy breast shapes just like Aunt Bernice had. Willoughby came back into the room in search of a comb and caught her in the act. Will you stop doing that? It was not a question. Swan slithered back down into the water. Her fabulous foamy breasts lost all their pointiness. Did he beat him to death? Did he strangle him? Willoughby had found her comb and was leaving the room again. He broke his neck. That had been Wednesday night, and now it was Friday, and time was running out. Swan's father would be back this evening, and he would tell them where they were going to live next year, and in the morning Willoughby would have all their clothes packed up before they even got out of bed. As soon as breakfast was over, they'd be off, going home to Louisiana, either getting back into the swing of things in Eras, the tiny town they'd been living in for all of a year now, or else getting ready to move. Swan hoped they moved. People felt sorry for her and her brothers because they'd moved so much, but she never could resist the excitement of it. When you went to a new place, everybody welcomed you, and church members had you over for dinner and made over you, and things were just peachy for a little while. As far as Swan was concerned, once the new wore off, it was time to move again. After that, life got to be a dance. Careful how you step. Mustn't get on anybody's toes. But her father did all the time. He specialized in it. Just couldn't resist. Telling sinners that God loved them, and he loved them, and why didn't they put in an appearance at the Lord's house come Sunday? And we're talking the rankest sinners here. Men who were too lazy to work, and couples who were living in sin, and even one frowsy old woman who used to be a stripper down on Bourbon Street, until her looks played out. Samuel didn't stop at trying to get ordinary sinners saved. He wanted everybody on God's green earth saved, and acted like the whole thing was up to just him, like the Lord didn't have any more helpers. Sometimes Swan wished her father was almost anything besides a preacher. Probably if he were the postmaster, or owned a hardware store, or something, and everybody in town wasn't always watching her, hoping she'd mess up so they could gossip about it, probably she could just be a regular kid. It must be lovely to be like everybody else. but there were bigger things to think about right now. She had less than a day to get in solid with Uncle Toy. Once she and her family drove away in the morning, she wouldn't see him again for a year, and the whole world could come to an end by then. Swan started scouting around for Uncle Toy as soon as she woke up. Noble and Bienville were nowhere in sight, thank heaven. They'd gotten disgusted with her for the past couple of days, what with her trailing around after Uncle Toy all the time, and they started playing by themselves, which suited Swan just fine. Everything that had seemed exciting less than a week ago had paled in comparison to Uncle Toy, who was bigger than life, bigger than anything she'd ever seen in life or could imagine ever seeing. She found him out beside the house. He was on the ground under Papa John's truck, just his feet sticking out, and he was tinkering with something. Swan squatted down and looked under the truck and cleared her throat loudly. Uncle Toy didn't have to glance around. He knew who it was. "Can I help?" Swan asked. "Nope." "Well, I wouldn't mind." "Well, I would." His voice was blunt as a sledgehammer. Swan narrowed her eyes into slits and got this faraway, thoughtful look on her face. "Do you know what?" she asked after a while. "What?" "I have purely been wasting my time on you." "Is that so?" "It damn sure is." She stood up and tapped her foot a couple of times disdainfully. She had her arms crossed in front of her chest and she was staring down at his feet. If she'd known for sure which foot was the real one, she'd have given it a good hard kick. But she didn't know, so she just used words to hurt him. "Here I've been dogging your tracks like you were some kind of hero, when all you really are is an old one-legged bootlegger. I bet you never saved anybody's life. You probably lost your leg running away from a fight. And as for Yam Ferguson, he must have been one puty sumbuck if he let himself get done in by the likes of you. I wouldn't be scared of you in a graveyard on a dark night." It was awfully quiet. Uncle Toy wasn't tinkering anymore.
You've been listening to Texas Scribes. Today's reading of The Homecoming of Samuel Lake was read by the author, Jenny Wingfield. Texas Scribes features literary works by the authors of Northeast Texas and can be heard each Friday morning on KETR.